Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence. This week, overdue hope against lung cancer.
In the last 5 years, lung cancer has had more new therapies and drugs than the last 5 decades.
But should more widespread screening be part of the future? When Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
When you start looking at these numbers, how does anybody afford this?
The stressful cost of health care in this country. Then.
This is a great time, especially coming out of COVID, to just really rethink it.
Why do we still spring forward and fall back each year when most people see it as a nuisance? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints on your favorite radio station and subscribe and listen to shows anytime on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Bonnie Addario is a grandma in her mid-60s, but that doesn't really start to describe her. She's used to taking on challenges and breaking glass ceilings, starting as a secretary at a big oil firm in the 1980s to eventually run the whole company. But a little over 15 years ago, she faced a challenge of a different kind, lung cancer.
It was back in, 2004, and I had this throbbing in my chest. Didn't know what it was. I was misdiagnosed for over a year. When I was finally diagnosed, they discovered that the tumor was in my upper left lung and it was also on my aorta. I was told at the time there was nothing that could be done for me, but I didn't take no for an answer. I kept looking for somebody that would take me on. You know, most said, you know, there's really nothing we can do. We can throw a little chemo at you and a little radiation, but this isn't operable. You are not an operable patient. So I found this amazing surgeon up at UCSF. He said, Bonnie, what do you want from me? And I said, David, here's what I want from you. I don't want to die from this disease because I did nothing.
Addario's doctors did plenty, taking out her left lung and one vocal cord, then treating her with radiation and chemo.
I made a promise to myself in the Barco Lounger when they started infusing the chemotherapy that if I made it through the knot hole, I would do something about the horrible statistics around lung cancer. And I've spent the last 17 years of my life doing that.
Addario founded the Addario Lung Cancer Medical Institute, and she's founder and co-chair of the GO2 Foundation for Lung Cancer. Now she's written a book, The Living Room, A Lung Cancer Community of Courage.
The unifying themes in these stories are really celebrating the hope now for lung cancer patients that wasn't there 5 years ago, and the courage that they're all living with. The stories are all full of people that are not giving up.
Not giving up has always been a mantra for lung cancer patients. The odds for five-year survival have always been long, currently only about 20%.
Lung cancer kills more people than breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer together. It is the biggest cancer and kills the most patients than any other cancer.
However, when overall cancer death rates had their biggest one-year drop in history, down by more than 2% in figures released last year, the reduction in lung cancer deaths got most of the credit. Addario says it's not a death sentence anymore.
In the last 5 years, lung cancer has had more new therapies and drugs than the last 5 decades. So lung cancer now is no longer nearly as scary as it was before, but we still have a lot of work to do.
There have been two major changes in the treatment of lung cancer over the past decade that have dramatically changed the outlook for certain subsets of patients.
That's cancer researcher Dr. Ferdinando Skolidis, assistant professor of thoracic head and neck medical oncology at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center.
The first one is targeted therapy, in other words, pills that go and bind to the product of a specific oncogenic driver that drives the development of a specific subtype of lung cancer and then shut that protein down and cause shrinkage of tumors. So targeted therapy has been one of the major advances. And the second major advance has been immunotherapy, the ability to harness our own body's immune system to elicit an anti-tumor immune response. So those two treatments have transformed outlook for patients with lung cancer over the past decade.
Skolidis was lead investigator for one of the latest advances, a drug called sotorasib, approved only last month by the FDA. It targets what's called KRAS G12C non-small cell lung cancer, a specific mutation that affects 1 in 8 patients with non-squamous non-small cell lung cancer and has stubbornly resisted treatment till now.
First of all, KRAS as a protein, you can imagine it as a small and fairly smooth ball, which doesn't really have any invaginations. It doesn't have any areas on which a drug can actually bind. So that's been one of the major reasons. The other reason is that KRAS itself tends to bind extremely tightly to its substrate. So the development of a competitive inhibitor that can outcompete the normal substrate of KRAS has been extremely difficult to do. And the third reason has been that any drug targeting KRAS would have to exhibit selectivity. It would have to target the mutant KRAS, but spare the normal version of KRAS in order to achieve an optimal therapeutic index efficacy without significant side effects.
Skolidis says doing all that has been the culmination of 40 years of effort by teams around the world. KRAS mutations are also found in pancreatic and colorectal cancer, so the new drug could provide an approach for further advances. It's shown great promise against lung cancer.
It's given as a pill orally and induces tumor shrinkage in approximately 37% of patients and disease stabilization in approximately 80% of patients. It also makes people live longer than what would be the traditional drug that we tend to use in patients in this disease following failure of first-line chemotherapy, which would be docetaxel.
However, this kind of research has been a long time coming. Addario says lung cancer suffers from an enormous stigma.
For every dollar that goes to lung cancer research, $15 goes to breast. I don't ever want to sound like I'm negative about that because I think that's wonderful. But it's strictly related to the stigma, strictly related to that, and it's just so wrong. Then that was one of the reasons that drove me to start the foundations that I did. It was because of the injustice. There was a belief out there that the only people that got lung cancer were people that smoked, and therefore, who cares? You brought it on yourselves. Why should we work to get better funding for research and work on statistics for saving people with lung cancer? Totally not true, and especially more evident today than ever because of all these targeted mutations that we have found since then. Those are things that are driving people's cancers now. And, you know, do some of the people that get lung cancer smoke? Absolutely. But I believe it's 70% of the newly diagnosed either never smoked at all or quit smoking decades ago.
Addario says researchers don't know why the proportion of non-smokers with lung cancer is growing, or why the number is growing among people under 40. She says many of them, nearly 90%, appear to have a targeted mutation. They could be treated and cured if the cancer were found early enough, but that often doesn't happen.
We have to diagnose lung cancer at early detection. Only 4% of people go in for screening. So we need screening, and we need to diagnose patients much earlier.
Addario says lung cancer screening isn't hard. It takes a CT scan, actually very similar to getting a mammogram. But she says the young who might benefit most aren't able to take advantage of it.
They couldn't get a screen if they tried because they're too young. The age, I think, now is age 50 for people to get a screening for lung cancer. But you have to smoke to get it. You have to possibly have a familial connection to get screening, but it's still not wide open for lung cancer patients like it is for breast cancer and colon and prostate. You know, men can get a PSA test at every annual checkup. The same thing with mammograms and same thing with colorectal cancer. But you can't just walk through the doors and get a lung screening without going through a lot of red tape, so to speak.
Is lung cancer screening a victim of stigma? Hard to say, but Addario believes it should be a routine part of medical testing.
Absolutely, why not? You know, all those other cancers are. Why should lung cancer patients be denied access to that type of screening too? Although I think it will increase percentages when we can do a blood test on that as well. That's being researched by many people as we speak.
Addario says many lung cancer patients also don't get the genetic testing they need to see if they have a mutation driving their cancer, like KRAS G12C. If doctors know it's there, they can treat it.
Before starting treatment with a patient, they need to have a genomic test so they get put on the right drug at the right time, first line. Because very often, and it could be a clinical trial, that might be the best treatment for one particular patient. So the comprehensive genomic profiling to find these mutations, to see if the patient has one. And believe it or not, now since we have this wonderful opportunity, some physicians are still not doing that test.
We can only offer this treatment to patients if we are able to identify patients that will benefit from this treatment. And it is absolutely true that access to broad molecular profiling across the United States has not been equitable. This is something that is routinely offered in big academic centers, but not necessarily something that is offered for every patient with advanced disease in community oncology practices. So my hope is that the FDA approval of the first KRAS targeted agent, sotorasib, will also spearhead efforts to more broadly test patients across the United States to identify every single patient that might benefit from this drug.
Lung cancer doesn't have to be a death sentence anymore if we can just mobilize the machinery we now have to treat it. Bonnie Addario's book, The Living Room, is available now. You can find out more about it and about all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. You can also find previous segments there, as well as wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm Reed Pence.
Cardiovascular or CV disease is the number one killer of adults in the U.S., and millions of people trying to reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke may unknowingly be taking medications that are not proven, nor FDA approved to reduce cardiovascular risk. Let's hear from cardiologist Dr. John Osborne.
Many people are unaware that after a failed outcome study, the FDA revoked the approval of fenofibrates when added to statins, as the risk outweighed the benefits to heart health. It's important to remember that statins, along with diet and exercise, can lower cardiovascular risk by about 25 to 35%. But persistent cardiovascular risk, which can lead to a life-threatening event, may remain. I would tell anyone still being prescribed fenofibrates, such as Tricor and Trilipix, with a statin, to talk to their doctor about FDA-approved therapies for cardiovascular risk reduction.
To learn more and get clear on the facts, visit itscleartomenow.com. Again, that's itscleartomenow.com.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify
for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
As we go back to a normal again, the brain is still activated and we're not fully out of the pandemic yet.
Some Americans still struggle with pandemic stress, while others embrace the new normal.
Then how common injuries can be life-threatening for older adults?
Each year there are about 36 million older adult falls. So these are falls among persons 65 and older, and there are 1.6 million motor vehicle crashes among older drivers each year.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money.